Three, two, one, ghost. Hey, everybody, welcome to 3-2-1 Ghost. I'm your host with the silent G, Kyle, and as always, joined by my pal Natalie. Natalie, Freddy's back, Freddy's back, Freddy's back.
He's back.
We're back at it with our franchise series with Nightmare on Elm Street. Not to show my cards, possibly a personal favorite, A Nightmare on Elm Street, Part 4, The Dream Master. Directed by Rennie Harlan, industry legend Rennie Harlan. We probably have given that him that already, right?
Probably.
Yeah, I mean, he did make a Fight Boo movie with Deep Blue Sea.
Yeah.
Pretty fucking awesome.
Platinum Boo.
He did Cutthroat Island. He did what else? Cliffhanger, to a lesser extent, I suppose. And then maybe to an even lesser extent, he's doing those new Strangers movies,
Oh.
which I heard they're going to at some point be re-releasing those, but in all like a 4.5 hour movie, like all three, which honestly sounds better.
They should have done that from the beginning because the first one was so unbearable to watch that we watched it together, movie night. I have no interest in seeing the second or third one. Like, I'll see it through, but I'm gonna like have to force myself to do it.
Yeah, because I'm gonna try and commit to see the third one, so I do need to watch the second one, right?
Yeah.
This movie compared to all of the others, it gets the tag of, what do they call it, like the MTV Freddy.
Oh, why?
Well, I mean, this is where he definitely gets sillier. This is the jokiest he's been the whole time,
True.
right? Yeah,
Yeah.
all fucking A plus material, by the way.
I feel like Robert Englund, I think he said that this was his favorite to like his favorite Freddy to play, but not it's not his favorite movie, but it was his favorite performance as Freddy.
Yeah, you mentioned before his favorite's Freddy's versus Jason, and
Which
that's
wild.
awful.
We need to ask him why.
I don't know. So like I said, directed by Rennie Harlan, written fought by a few people that are not Wes Craven. They talked to Wes Craven about possibly writing this movie or doing a rewrite on this movie. He had an idea, maybe like had time traveling is a component with the dream situation. So I don't know how good that would have been. But to be fair, they brought him back for the third one to be like, all right, this is it. No more Nightmare on Elm Street. But he knew they all had their fingers crossed behind their backs, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, come on. This is only 1988 and we are already four films in from the first.
It's fucking awesome. What a beautiful decade, the 80s,
Oh my
in
God.
this respect at least.
In this respect, yes.
Let me be clear. And I mean, good on them, because I mean, this is, or at least it was the highest grossing one at the time before, like, I mean, I guess with inflation, Freddy vs. Jason, and to a lesser extent, that remake made a little bit more money. But, you know, fucking 50 million in 1988, that's pretty good.
It is pretty
For,
good. Yeah.
yeah. And just like Friday the 13th, something about the fourth series in the franchise, I really feel like fucking you it's a crock pot, Natalie. You know, you gotta let them ingredients just stew for a few movies, you know? Like, it might not always be right. Sometimes you just, you know, put a burlap sack over his head and call it a day. But something about part four for both of these franchises, fuck. Just really, they nail it. It's perfect.
Yeah, I think it's a combination of you've gotten to know your villain, you've got history, but you don't have unnecessary history. Like we don't get too deep into it, just enough history, and you've got so many things to play with and just the ridiculousness of like who even fucking cares how he comes back or how he dies. Like that's not the point. It's about the journey.
One thing I love a lot about this movie is there's no fucking mention about Freddy's parents or his origin beside a
Nope.
one line just to catch up, like, oh, yep, he was a child pervert, got away on a technicality, burned him alive, starts killing kids. Yeah. Like,
Love
literally, Rick
that.
says it in like a sentence or two to Dan.
Yeah.
And thank goodness, because
It's perfect.
really one of the very, very few slights against part three is that introduction of, what's her name?
Amanda
Amber,
Kruger.
Amanda Krueger. Yeah. So that's nice. And then Freddy in this one, I think he looks the grossest.
He looks real gross in this one, yeah.
I think he's the meanest in this
Yeah.
one.
Yeah, it's pretty fun.
And again, just the sense of humor, like it, I can see, sure, that people say, oh, this is where it goes very much over the top. Whereas, like, I feel like this is a perfect amount
Oh,
here.
it's a sweet spot for sure.
Yeah. Sweet as a spicy soul meatball, And then I also think about it too. I was a child watching this. I mean, I was a year old when this movie came out. I didn't see it till I was 5 or 6, but when I was old enough, right? But so the jokier Freddy got, the more I think it worked for me as a kid watching it,
You didn't
because
think he was scary still?
oh no, because it still fucked me up,
Oh,
absolutely.
absolutely. It made him
But
scarier to me because he's just cracking jokes.
yeah, 100%. He doesn't give a fuck and he's petty.
Yeah. Oh, he's so petty. I love it.
So Wes Craven is not back for this one, but we do have a couple returning people from part three. So you don't have Patricia Arquette. We got Tuesday
Amen.
Knight instead. I mean, it'd be nice to have Patricia Arquette back.
This is my hot take. I like this actress. Her name is Tuesday Knight, which I fucking love.
Yeah, it's a cool name.
But I like her better as Kristen than I do Patricia Arquette. I'm sure there are many people who will disagree with me on this, but I feel like Kristen is so flat in part three. She's one of my least favorite of the bunch. And in this one, I actually enjoy her a little bit more. She's got a little bit more of that like Nancy fire to her.
You do have the same actors that played Joey and Kincaid who are back. And then I think it's the same actress that plays Kristen's mom.
Yes, it is, and I love her.
Good for her. I'm glad she's back. Just to just continue being just a fucking just mean old fucking mom.
Yeah,
Yeah.
just this rich bitch of a mom. I love her.
So you also have Lisa Wilcox as Alice Johnson. I am not really sure where I land, in my opinion, as her is like in the kind of final girl pantheon,
Same. We'll talk
because
through it.
she really grates a lot at first, but I still ultimately appreciate her. But yeah, we can talk a little more in depth later on. And then, yeah, dude, you got fucking Robert Englund playing Freddy Krueger, like at his meanest.
Oh my gosh. He's so good in this. I really appreciate his commitment to character. Like, I've posted a few of them on our Instagram, but I was watching just like getting caught up in these interviews of Robert Englund talking about Freddy, but then also talking about Freddy while in the makeup for Freddy. And he just goes back and forth between being Freddy and being himself. And it's so weird and delightful. Like, he really loves the character of Freddy. And I like that he appreciates and calls out like the misogyny of Freddy and the way he uses the word bitch. And he loves it so much, and it makes me love it even more. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think so.
His commitment.
It's like how, I don't know. It's almost like I don't know why I think of Hugh Jackman and Wolverine, where it's like you just play this role long enough that you just kind of become this like wise sage know-it-all for this character. And then you get the benefit of the doubt of like so far being the only person to play them. Well, actually, no, that's not true in Freddy's case. The only person to play him. And maybe that shows like maybe they fuck maybe they were like, man, we need to replace Hugh Jackman a long time ago, but we saw what happened to Jackie Earle Haley.
We want to fuck anybody else over.
And no, thank you. But yeah, I don't know. Do you remember watching this for the first time?
No, but I remember watching this a lot as a kid. I think this one was probably my favorite when I was like around the age I would have started watching it, because I remember watching it a lot. But I don't remember the first time. Like, it's hard when movies come out, when you're 1 year old, 2 year old, like it, you just don't even remember. It just has always been a part of my life.
Yeah, I just always think to one or two summers at my grandparents' place in Texas and staying up way too late and doubly not being able to sleep because I'd watch Nightmare on Elm Street movies. But it was like in between, and I feel like I've mentioned this at some point before, but between watching like Nightmare on Elm Street films, Friday the 13th, and then also, I guess, a lot of MTV, because I remember a lot of Beavis and Butthead and Singled Out. And, you don't really, at the time, you don't really pause and think of the glory days when you're in them.
I know.
You know what I mean?
When you're a kid watching Singled Out, like, did adults watch that show or only children?
Only children. But, well, gosh, I'm ready to hop into this movie. Though, before we do, every time, Natalie, it's a franchise movie. So, can you just give a quick recap of the rules here?
Thank you. I was just about to say he's about to skip the fucking rules so that you have excuses to spoil things for everybody. All right. One rule, no spoilers for future films. So, in case you're just tuning in, maybe go back and listen to the other episodes, but we will be able to spoil the first, second, third, and fourth movie because that's one we're talking about today. So there could be spoilers for those, but none of the future films. We'll share our favorite Freddy quote from this movie. We'll also share our favorite nightmare sequence. That nightmare sequence does not have to end in a kill. Then we'll share our favorite kill, followed by our boo scores, and then rank the movies. And I will review our current ranking and our past boo scores for the movies we've covered so far. And that's it.
Natalie, I think you gave that overview with such poise and such clarity,
Thank
and I feel
you.
like we're on a path to success.
I love that.
Yeah.
Five boos for me.
Five booze. All
Do
right, let's hop into this.
it.
So, good thing Kristen says, something to the degree of like, "Stop it, Kristen, you're in a nightmare again," to let us know
She's
because.
Kristen.
Yeah, 'cause like we don't really have like the internet to be able to tell us like, "Oh, we're changing characters." Like I'm sure there was probably some article about it or whatever, but I don't know. I think the random person going into these movies, like I don't know if they would know or even care. I'm not
Yeah.
sure.
I don't know that they would care. I think if you're watching the fourth Nightmare on Elm Street movie, you probably watched the third.
Yeah, oh definitely.
Yeah.
Well, maybe if well this one made more than the last one, so there maybe some people were just like, "Fuck, you know what?
That's
Fourth
a
one, let's
home
hop right in."
video. That's what home video is for.
True, true,
Catch up.
true. So, Kristen's still having nightmares. This is some undetermined amount of time between part three and part four. I don't think it's that much time because they're still in high school.
Yeah, but they're all out of that facility, which is nice to see.
Right, yeah, so that's always nice, but she's still having nightmares, and the most annoying dream power you could possibly have, that a dream warrior could possibly have, is the ability to pull people against their will into your dreams.
That's such a fucked up ability. I'd be furious. I think I've said this before. I'd be furious if you dragged me into your nightmare.
And this continues to have like this rippling effect where like literally all of this can fall on Kristen the
Yeah.
entire fucking next hour and 20 minutes.
Absolutely.
So because she pulls Joey and Kincaid in and being like, "Freddy's back, you have to believe me." And they're like, we buried him. We did the thing, like we sure
Yeah.
Telling him we didn't believe in him didn't work. All right, sure. Kissing him on the mouth didn't work. But we're feeling pretty confident that burying him in like consecrated soil, or what's the word? I don't know.
Yeah, consecrating. Yeah.
Yeah, this is gonna do it. And it's only been a couple months. Though, to be fair, if I were Joey or Kincaid, I'd be like, you need to stop doing this because I fucking hate this. You
Yeah.
pulling me into dreams randomly, your
Yeah.
nightmares randomly. You don't pull me into the nice dreams, just the fucking nightmares. However, I'm not gonna say I don't believe you, because how certain can we be? I think they were just very much having the blind faith that what they did in part three was gonna work, which clearly it doesn't. Or it
Apparently,
does, kind of.
Hypnosil also got pulled off the shelves by the FDA, I'm assuming, because nobody's got Hypnosil anymore.
Yeah.
So that's kind of sad.
So I guess she also has the ability to pull dogs into her dreams, because
And that
Kincaid is a
dog's
dog.
pissed.
That dog's pissed. His dog, Jason, very cute wink. Well, I like the idea that she either pulls the dog in, or that dog, being a sweet, protective little boy that he is like, get my human out of your goddamn dream, you dumb dream bitch, and just bites
Yeah.
her.
Yeah. He's like, what the
Everybody wake up. I don't like any of this.
Yeah.
So good on that dog. Good boy, Jason.
Yeah.
He survives, don't worry. Or at least I think he does. Yeah, he does.
He does.
He's,
We at least see him run off safely.
right. So the next day at school, we meet Kristen's boyfriend, Rick, who's like a little bit ducky from Pretty in Pink, and but
Yeah.
then also has maybe not as flamboyant as Ducky, maybe like with as many like scarves and hats and sunglasses and shit, but the energy, this very like
Like very like dorky.
sass.
How is he even with Kristen? Like they don't feel like a match to me.
It's got to be his karate skills, because that's the other thing about
Yeah.
the late 80s and 80s and 90s kids can definitely relate to this, is martial arts is just a big deal, and everything had to
It
incorporate it in some fashion, right?
It was such a big deal.
So they were like, this dude, his personality is karate.
Bonsai.
Yeah. So, and then we also meet Rick's sister, Alice. And then who's this kind of meek,
She's
you
very
know?
mousy.
Yeah. Her voice drives me crazy.
I'm assuming that it's intentional that Alice starts off annoyingly meek, and then her character builds with each, friend that she absorbs for some reason. That I would guess is why she's so obnoxious is a strong word, but just hard to imagine her being friends with this group of friends. I'm assuming it's through Rick.
She's got this like, yeah, this like really, yeah, mousy kind of demeanor. And then also like I don't know, like it felt like it sounded like some of her like lines were like 80 yard or something, because it's like when she's like having that like daydream, that's what she does. She like daydreams about like being more forward and strong and confident, you know, but then she snaps out of it. It's like when she's seeing the pretty boy Dan, you know, and she's like, she sounds almost like, I don't know if it's the last time you watched Twin Peaks, but like all of the like old like footage of like Laura Palmer and recordings of her, where she says like, you know, hey, you hunky chunk of man, something, you know, it's like, hey, a slice of beatnik, why don't you come down and, you know, come to the double R? And then it's like, and
Okay.
it's so off-putting the way she speaks.
It wasn't off-putting when you did it at all, though. How strange.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. So at school, we meet the rest of her friends. So, you know, I mentioned Dan, who is kind of the pretty boy jock, and
He is pretty.
He is. And you've also got Debbie. Her whole thing is she likes exercise and she does not like cockroaches.
I wish there was more Debbie in this movie.
Yeah, I like Debbie.
Yeah.
And cool, because I like the way that she like sticks up for Sheila, who has asthma and is good at science, maybe. Yeah, that's her whole thing. With Debbie and the whole thing with cockroaches, I just think it's funny where it's like that's like part of her whole thing is like, oh, I don't like cockroaches. Like that's the singular trait to
Because they're
her.
everywhere, apparently.
And I'm like, I don't think anybody wants like a cockroach coming out of their fucking lunch bag. I don't.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. It's not unique to her. The working out is unique, but you only see her do it once in this movie. But nobody likes fucking cockroaches. So, I mean, that kill could work for anybody, really.
Yeah. Let's see. At school, we get a little bit of Kristen warning Joey and Kincaid that Freddy's coming back. They're still not believing her. And then you maybe get a montage of Rick doing his martial arts. They also have a drunk, mean dad.
Yeah, of course. I
Yeah.
mean,
All the Elm
it's
Street kids.
yeah, all the Elm Street kids have drunk ass, mean parents, and a
Well, but.
dead, maybe a dead parent as well.
Even though they're not technically Elm Street kids, but still, yes.
Sure, yes. Or we'll say the what it's Springwood.
Yeah. We get a little more of that, like just their family dynamic. Like I said, yeah, the dad's just kind of, just kind of a drunk. He's an asshole. He's mean to his kids. Alice has that, like, kind of like quick kind of daydream disassociation. Of being like, it's all your fault, Dad, and you take it out on us. But then, in reality, she caves, and I don't know.
Yeah, she's not the greatest.
Yeah, Rick's just like, hey, you know what? Dad can be a real pill. We know that. Here, let me teach you some high kicks. You got to do the right scream when you do it. Like, does he yell like fight? Like, fight,
I
fight.
don't know. That like something weird. He's real into
Yeah, I was like, he must have learned that from Street Fighter or something. I don't know.
it.
Yeah. So you get an idea of this family dynamic, and I only mention that anymore just because this is basically all the character development you get for the entire movie. It's all kills from here on out, which I love.
You know what? I just to compare this group to the last group, I do feel like we got a little bit more character development with these characters than the last group. Like you spend a little bit more time with them overall before they die, and
Yeah.
they really like nail down their character traits, because obviously anything that you learn about them is going to be used against them by Freddy. So that's always fun. Whenever you learn something, you're like, ooh, what's he gonna do with that? You know?
Definitely. Because, I mean, in the third one, Freddy had already been fucking with all of them by that point. So now they're just all, I don't know, all in that phase, I guess. Of just being like afraid of Freddy and being on edge. And, yeah, you do, I guess, get some relationships between some of them. But yeah, I like this cast much better. I like this group of characters. Like, yes, are they one note? Most all of them. Yeah. I mean, you should expect them to be in a movie like this. But that being said, with the bar set that low, I feel like it confidently just steps right over it. So, like I said, that's all the character development you really need. Because we're gonna get right to the deaths. And what I like about this movie is that it's pretty much just death sequences from here on out.
Oh yeah, it's so good. And I like that we are following up what happened in the third, because that's one of my biggest gripes with the third movie is that I would have liked to see more characters die, and we get that now.
Well, I love that pettiness extends beyond, from film to film, because he's like, I didn't fucking forget about you. None of this off screen, like, oh, maybe the guy from part two ended up here somewhere, you know, et cetera, et cetera. He's coming back to finish what he started, and we start with Kincaid. He wakes up in the junkyard where Freddy's buried. The dog's there too. Also
Oh,
pees
Jason.
fire. I don't know why.
I'm assuming that this is not actually his dog, Jason. I'm assuming this is like Nightmare Jason because Kincaid can't pull people into his dreams or animals.
Yeah. So he's peeing fire, and then by doing so, brings Freddy back to life. Does it
Love
make
it.
sense? I don't care.
Doesn't matter.
Just get it, just bring him back. You don't
It's
have to say
fun.
anything. Because, I mean, he's like immortal anyway, so it doesn't.
Yeah, you just hurt him for a little bit and he rests, I'm assuming, and then he comes back stronger, usually.
100%. Any thoughts about this this dream sequence and kill?
It's fine. I was mostly just happy to see Kincaid go first because I didn't like him in the last movie and I don't like him in this one. He's just I appreciate the actor and I love that he's always at a 10, but at the
Yeah.
same time he's always at a 10. So I didn't really need it. So this kill is fine. I like that we get to see the junkyard again and I like that wide shot of how enclosed he is in like there's no chance his ass is getting out, but really he just gets stabbed.
Yeah, that overhead shot of like the junkyard maze
Oh,
fucked me
so
up.
good. Yeah. Oh
Yeah.
yeah. Because you're like, oh, he's so fucked.
And his line delivery is so good. You know, when he thinks he has the upper hand, he's like, yeah, motherfucker. You know,
Yeah.
and he goes, Freddy's back, Freddy's back, Freddy's back. It's so good. Even if the kill itself isn't particularly
Yeah.
memorable, I do, yeah, I like the chase. I like the energy. And I'm just like, fuck it, Freddy's back. Like, you know, you start with your appetizer. You know what I mean? Before you get to your main course,
Yeah,
right?
they definitely, when they were putting these kills in order, they made good choices, I think, in terms of sequence of kills.
Poor Jason, the dog, having to watch him die in real life.
Oh man, that was so brutal. I know, I feel so bad for him.
Yeah, I thought
Oh, poor
that was like
Jason.
that was like the saddest part of the movie.
It really is because he doesn't know what's going on. He's just like, oh man, my guy.
Kristen gets this feeling over her at her house, knowing something's happened. She's like, fuck, I need a cigarette. I don't know why. And then, but we don't even have fucking time. We're on to Joey's death, which is also a very memorable one from this movie and probably from the series too. I knew Joey's horn dog ways were, if they didn't get him in the last movie, it was gonna get him somehow.
Can we talk about, we'll get back to how pervy Joey is, but okay, correct me if I'm wrong. In the last film, Joey could not speak in real life. He could only speak in dreams.
Yes.
But in this movie, I thought he could just speak in dreams because the first time you see him, he's in Kristen's dream. But he can speak in real life too. So I thought that was kind of interesting that they were just like, eh, we're just gonna drop that.
Yeah, I think he gets his like ability to speak back now that he's not haunted by Freddy.
Is that what all it takes?
I guess.
Damn. Okay. Well, it threw me off that he was just talking in the hallway. I love Joey's pervy dream because if you remember last time, my favorite dream sequence was Joey's dream or nightmare, I guess, because you get titties. He's having a good time right before he dies. But I love that the woman like comes out of the poster. Like she's
Yeah.
from his poster and is in the bed. And this is the second time a waterbed has made an appearance in this series.
Love that. It's a common fear.
Yeah.
Is waterbed deaths.
Yeah, but the effects on this are really cool.
Yeah, I think it's cool. Pulling him in and then, you know, Freddy bursting out. Again, pretty sad that his mother finds him like that.
Oh my gosh, I know. Just in the, like, how do you explain that?
Yeah.
That's nuts.
That's so nuts. I'm like, how'd you get in there? How did this happen?
You imagine how much guilt you would have for letting him have the waterbed?
Yeah. Oh my
That
gosh.
fucking suck.
But yeah, love a waterbed death. Next day at school, Kristen's smoking like a chimney.
I love her stress smoking.
I know. So she's like totally panicking. Alice sits by and she's like, this convoluted. Well, in her super dumb, mousy voice, she's like, my mother told me about the Drain Master. Do you know that rhyme about the Drain Master? And I'm like,
She
okay,
sounds nothing like
who
that.
is coming? Pretty close. Who is coming up with this goddamn rhyme? Because like, okay, I get it. I know the, blah blah blah, before I wake, my soul to take, and
No,
before
this
I
one's a whole
sleep,
new rhyme. It's
my
a whole
soul to
new
keep.
rhyme.
But it's part of that. It's an extension of that rhyme. And there's this, but my understanding is that's all it is. But these movies keep adding on these extra lines. Like, oh yeah, my mother added this, Well,
That's a
first it's
prayer, not a rhyme.
okay, does
It's a
it not
children's
rhyme?
prayer. But I mean, yes, it rhymes. Fine. God damn it.
So she's like, oh, I remember part of what my mom told me, and it's, about I could be the master of my dreams, and your dreams are whatever you want them to be. And Kristen's just like, yeah, okay, idiot. Like, I let me tell you a thing about fucked up dreams.
Wait, so I've seen this movie so many times. I just want to be clear. Alice would be the Dream Master, not Freddy, in this situation.
Yes.
Okay, I just want to make sure because I always think that Freddy is the Dream Master, and then I realize every time I watch this that it is Alice.
It's Alice, yeah.
Okay.
Kristen gets to class and realizes that, yeah, Joey and Kincaid are both definitely dead. She passes out in class, and we get this lovely little dream sequence. We've talked about this before. Obviously, we love Robert Englund, but we love Robert Englund playing other characters within dreams, like not just Freddy Krueger. So we get this awesome scene with him in fantastic drag.
He looks great, honestly.
Yeah, he looks fantastic as the school nurse.
And I love that he has long red fingernails. I'm assuming that's intentional, like bloody long nails.
Yeah, I see. I want Robert Englund was robbed of an Eddie Murphy type comedy where he plays like or like Mike Myers, where he plays 15 different characters.
Yes. Oh my gosh, he could though.
Or what was that? I never saw it. The Master of Disguise movie with Dana Carvey.
Oh yeah, that
Yeah.
movie's silly.
Something like that, but just with Robert Englund just playing like 15 different characters, like
I would love
a
that.
la Jim Varney too. Also, fucking looks great
Yeah.
dressed as a woman.
Yeah.
So,
Yep.
thankfully though, Kristen comes to, goes and gets Rick, who then goes and picks up Alice and Dan for some reason. And I guess Dan was already looking for Rick, but I don't know why.
Yeah,
Necessarily,
neither.
like I it was very unclear. Like I thought they were friendly, but maybe not friends, and I wasn't even sure if Rick even meant it when he said they were friends earlier on, but
I don't
whatever.
understand what their relationship is.
Me neither. But they also, speaking of things I don't understand, they roll up to this house that's the house from Kristen's dream in the beginning, and she says that this is Freddy Krueger's house.
Oh, but it's Nancy's old house.
Right? Isn't it Nancy's house?
Yeah. But maybe now he just inhabits that house.
I guess. And then I was like, did I miss something? Like, was it his house that they moved into afterwards? Like, I don't know. Did he afford a house like that on a janitor's salary? That's good on him.
No, I don't think that that was ever his house in life. I think after we went through Nancy and Jesse experiencing Freddy in that house, and it got abandoned, I'm assuming because of all the shit that he just, his essence or whatever you want to call it, just has taken over that house.
And this house is just dilapidated and rotted and covered in like ash and soot and just in the middle of this like otherwise like just bright, sunny
Yeah.
Ohio suburb.
And it got like that in what, like 6 years? Because we fast forwarded a couple of years, but still, I was like, oh, that's a lot of wear and tear.
Yeah, like you would think they would just tear the place down or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
So Rick and Dan go into this house, and Rick, gives like a real quick, kind of elevator pitch. No pun intended, because of the whole elevator thing later on. But it explains Freddy's whole situation, which again is all I need. Just like,
Yeah,
oh
great.
yeah.
Nice, quick, short and sweet exposition dump. That's what we needed.
They call him a child killer. They aren't really going that, far into
They
explaining him
never
being a child pervert.
call him a child pervert in these movies, only in the remake. Because in the original movie, they wanted to do that, but they were like, nah, that's too dark. Just have him be a child murderer. That's much better.
Child murdering is better.
Well, it's better to be a child. No, it's better to be a child murderer than a pedophile that is also a murderer.
That's true.
Because this is like double whammy.
That's when you get to like SVU status. Then you get fucking iced tea on you.
Oh, we don't want that.
No. So as the two guys are trying about to walk up to the house, Kristen's mom, showing up again in this movie, rolls up just to yell at her to get in the car, and we need to fucking leave. Get away from that fucking house.
It's been so long since I watched this movie. It actually has been a little while that I forgot that Kristen's mom shows back up, and I like gasped. I was so excited when I saw her just yelling out of that beautiful, expensive car, looking fabulous, but just being the absolute world's worst mom still.
The actress was stoked that they asked her to come back. She was like, "Oh, I thought you killed me off in the last one." They're like, "Yeah, no, technically it was just your dream." And she's like, "All right, hell
I
yeah."
love it. Yeah.
So she makes Kristen get in the car, and they head back home. And then you have this dinner scene between the mom and Kristen. And like, why are the parents so? Oh, so I'm supposed to believe that. Now, of all the parents that had a hand in killing Freddy Krueger, she is the only one left whose child is still alive.
This bitch.
And still, she's like, shut up, get away from that house, go to sleep. I drugged you. Like, I guess when do you get to that point where you're like, you know what? Okay.
Maybe this motherfucker is coming back and killing kids in their dreams. Like I'd be open to it. Maybe three kids in.
Because we're four movies in now, and it's still like this, like, recess playground rumor.
Yeah.
And it's not even like any of the parents. We don't see any of the parents who now have dead kids who can be like, okay, maybe shit is fucking weird. I don't know. Or maybe I regret, maybe not killing Freddy Krueger. I still wouldn't regret, no regrets around that. But,
Yeah.
try to have a more active hand in trying to figure out what the fuck's going on. But
Yeah,
no, that mom
they
has no fucking interest.
you would think that the other parents would step up and try to connect with the other parents that were involved in the burning of Freddy Krueger, because at that point there's something to this, even if they're all dying mysteriously, because I think Freddy does a really good job of it's actually kind of funny, his balance where he wants to make things look like they might be natural causes of death or suicide or whatever it might be. But then other times he's like, ah, no, I'm just gonna fucking slice through your chest and people are just gonna have to figure that one out. You know?
I want to just stuff you in a water bed. Let them solve that
Yeah,
puzzle.
like that's what I'm saying. I'm like, that was one of the first ones, and I would just be like, he didn't do that himself, so somebody put him in that fucking waterbed with some sorcery. What the fuck?
Without getting any water anywhere. Like, that's the magic trick.
It's all magic. Like that whole ass kill is all magic. Kincaid sliced to death in bed, and then you have, fucking what's her name, asthma girl, like just having an asthma attack. And I'd be like, why didn't we start with the asthma attack?
Yeah. So, like I said, Kristen's talking about her dead friends. Mom's like, yeah, cool story. I drugged your lemonade. And it's just so fucked up.
I love her. I
And
love her so much.
again, you don't get any scenes with the mom afterwards. Like,
I wish we would have, and she would be like, damn, she was right. I gotta go see my boyfriend, though.
right? Like, I don't even remember if she's at the graveyard in any of those scenes. I'm not even sure.
All the funerals,
Yeah, well,
or
because
at
there's
Kristen's
one.
funeral, where
Right?
everyone's tombstones are just together.
Yeah, right in front of Nancy's and her dad's.
Yeah, like they didn't know each other. They're not family. Like,
Oh, I think what happened is that in this graveyard, they probably. Someone recognized, like, oh,
these are the Freddy victims. We need to
these
bury
are,
them together.
yeah, like, let's just carve out a spot right now for all of them and just set up the grave spots. And yeah, eventually you'll get there.
Yeah.
So maybe it's that kind of situation.
Yeah, maybe they know what's up.
So our mom fucking drugs her with fucking sleeping pills, and she tries to get a phone call out, maybe to Alice, to Rick.
She's trying to call Alice before she falls asleep.
Yeah, like all of a sudden now she wants to have this connection with Alice specifically, not wanting to call Rick. I don't get it. But she falls asleep. And then this is a fun situation too. And just her, I like that. I like that. It's a cute bathing suit. Just her on the beach, just having a good time. That random ass little girl.
Yeah, she was in the last one too. That's the same
Yeah.
little girl.
Good for her. And then you get little Jaws Freddy.
Oh
It's
my
pretty
gosh.
fun.
I love his little hand claw fin.
Finn. Yeah.
Yeah, that's real fun.
Yeah.
And sunglasses. I love Freddy in sunglasses.
I wrote that too. I was like, I love Freddy in shades. He looks so relaxed.
Yeah, like he's like, am I on vacation? Like she brought me to this really great place, and now I get to kill her in this beautiful place.
So she tries to escape, doesn't make it very far because she falls in quicksand. Again, very common fear for 80s and 90s kids.
It was we did you I really thought at some point in my life I was going to encounter quicksand.
I think we all did, and it
Yeah,
might
it
not
still could
be
happen. We're still
out of the
here.
cards yet. Yeah.
Yeah.
So this doesn't even kill her, even though I thought it was fucked up, her just sinking in the quicksand, and he just fucking like stomps on her head just to kick her down there as
I
he's
love that.
laughing
Oh my gosh, I
in his
love it.
sunglasses, just giggling, having a good time.
Having a vacay.
Yeah. And then she falls through the quicksand and then back into Freddy's house. She lands back in the boiler room, which I guess is under Freddy's house now.
Sure.
Sure. Yeah, okay.
He can do whatever the fuck he wants.
And then uses her fucking awful power, which she can't even control herself, right? Because she
Yeah.
accidentally pulls Alice into the dream.
Because I guess it's just whoever she knows that's sleeping and can trust.
I guess. Yeah, because they don't really explain it any further than that. So Alice is there pretty much to see Kristen get thrown in an oven and set on fire.
Love it.
So Kristen's gonna be real fucking dead, but not before she, I guess, is able to project her power of pulling people into dreams, shoots it out like a laser ball through Freddy and into Alice.
And should not have done that.
Dude.
Just leave it. Let it die with you, Kristen.
Fucking Kristen,
Yeah.
because again, she's like, I can't even explain this power to you myself. I can't even control it myself, and it would just all end with me. I
Yeah.
would die, and that would it. That would
You're
be
already
it.
dead. You're already
Yeah.
gone.
But nope, I need to drag this out further. So I like Kristen a lot more in this movie, but also I'm just like, you are the absolute reason all the rest of them are going to die.
That
That
was a
sucks.
shitty thing for her to do. And knowing that Alice doesn't have an understanding of what this power is, and also the two people that could have explained it to her are also dead.
100%. So Alice awakes. She grabs Rick. She's like, we need to get to fucking Kristen's house. Ugh, they're too late because she is on fire. And the mom doesn't even
Love
notice that the whole bedroom's just like on fucking in flames.
Didn't smell the smoke, nothing. The
Nothing.
burning flesh.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Kristen's dead. I like the idea again, I of Freddy. Just tying up loose ends. Like, I would hope that every movie, kind of like Friday the 13th Part 2, a little bit, where, hey, let's catch up and just kill off whoever survived the last movie. I don't know why, but when I was like a kid, I thought that was more of like a common thread between sequel after sequel, was just killing everybody from the last movie and just starting fresh.
Can you imagine if everyone had as good a follow-up as Freddy and Jason? Like, how productive this world could be.
Oh yeah, 100%.
They're fucking, I can just see Freddy just sitting, contemplating, while everyone's awake during the day, just like, okay, who do I have left on my revenge list? How am I going to get them back into this? Like, I took a nice little sleep. Got some R&R, and now I'm gonna go and kill these fucking kids and then find a way to kill more of them.
Right. So Alice is like, saw it, Rick. This is Freddy Krueger. She and Kristen gave me her superpower, and so now I can pull people into dreams. I may have also picked up a cigarette habit.
I might have picked up smoking.
Yeah, I just kind of I don't pick or choose what I how this works. And poor Rick, he's just like, look, I don't think you're crazy, but stop saying what you're saying because that's crazy. And now we, and then now again, because fuck, now poor Sheila's got to die. Natalie, what did Sheila ever do to anybody? All she did was have asthma, have a shitty ass broken scooter, was trying to be a doctor. She gets sexually harassed. Like,
She also like built that nice thing for Debbie for like to scare away the bugs, and she was like helping people with their fucking homework and tests. Like, Sheila did nothing wrong, and she's so cute.
oh yeah, I like Sheila. Yeah, just like disturbing behavior, kind of like in that like rat sound device that scares them off or whatever. She's like, "Oh, I made this high-pitched freak," and it never gets to Debbie. Debbie never gets to use it.
No.
Yeah, But gives that to, or no, or maybe she gets it from Sheila afterwards. But
She
Alice ends up
showed
with it.
Sheila showed it to Alice, and then when Alice, I'm sorry, when Sheila dies, Alice just jacks that.
It's cute earlier. There's a scene in the diner where Sheila's like, oh, I gotta prepare for a killer physics test.
I forgot about that.
So, but again, this is all Kristen's fault because now, do I think Freddy on his own would say, like, hey, I got all the Elm Street kids, I know when to stop. This is not, I don't have a problem. I can stop whenever I want. But no, of course not. And but now Kristen has just made it so Alice now can just pull random kids in because he doesn't fucking care. He's like, yeah, okay, fine. If you're a fucking kid, I'll just start fucking killing people. I don't care. I mean, he's kind of already demonstrated in the last movie and even the one before. He's like, I don't mind killing people who aren't Elm Street kids.
Yeah, like that pool party. He didn't give a
Yeah.
shit. He was just flinging shit everywhere.
It's not like he was gonna like check each of their IDs. You
Yeah,
know what
like
I mean?
where are you from? Who's your daddy?
Yeah, who's your daddy? What's your school district? So Poor Sheila. Now I love the effects here. Like I like the where like Freddie starts rearranging her like math answers like on her paper. Like that looks really good. Now this is probably the most sexual assaulty of Freddie's kills,
Oh my gosh,
right?
I love it.
Cause he does want to suck face with her. Of course, poor Sheila is also the recipient of, every movie he's got to do a tongue thing.
Oh my gosh, I love, oh man. Robert Englund, get out of here with that tongue flicking. I'm gonna need to see him do that in his 30s without the Freddy makeup. I bet I could find it. Want to see him do that tongue flick without those prosthetics on his face, because Robert,
Oh
come on
no.
now.
Stop. Stop. You need to stop. You need to cool down. You need to take a drink of
Cold
water.
shower.
Yeah. But he sucks the air out of her, and of course everyone else thinks it's like an asthma attack. But oh my gosh, it looks so cool watching her get deflated and like her body just completely like sucked air dry, you know what I mean? Oh.
They show it like even happening in her hands and like everything in the
Yeah.
eyes look all crazy. Yeah, I really think that's such a fun effect. All the practical effects in this movie, like I'm sure we're gonna gush about it the whole way through, but God, they're so good.
Oh yeah. No, oh yeah, the set pieces are, I think, the best of the series
So far.
so far. So, thank you. Oh, yeah, poor Sheila's dead. And I don't know exactly what Alice inherits. I mean, if she's got the smoking habit already from Kristen, I hope she doesn't get the asthma, because that's. But one's inevitably going to lead to the other, probably.
That's so funny. I didn't even think of that. I think so. Okay, Alice's involvement in Sheila's nightmare is just that they both fell asleep in class at the same time, I guess. And then Freddie, of course, has to get her out of the way. So he just locks her into that desk.
Yeah.
But I think she inherited some of Sheila's intelligence, but also, she inherits people's like catchphrases because Sheila says mind over matter, and then Alice says it later, and they're like, oh my God, that's what Sheila used to say. I'm like, she wasn't the first fucking bitch to say mind over matter.
I know. I do ultimately like the Mega Man aspect of this, even though it's a little different because Freddy should be getting their powers. Like,
Think he just has their souls and that does nothing.
yeah, like I want Freddy to then know karate after Rick dies. You know what I mean? I want. Yeah, I want some of his powers. Or the idea that, like, ooh, Jesus Christ, what if Freddy had the ability to just drag you into nightmares even when you're awake? Like, just fuck. Just like, you don't even get a fucking chance. There'd be no beating this guy. But, but for now, she's got a cockroach device and starts saying mind over matter. Now we get Rick's death. Which, so, I mean, I think the common story is that it was supposed to happen in the elevator. First, I thought it was weird that he was having this dream of like, yeah, sure, he's in a toilet stall or whatever, and a bunch of cheerleaders come in, but like also his sister.
Pants
Yeah.
down.
Yeah, I'm just like, I don't know, this is uncomfortable.
Yeah,
They already have a weird, uncomfortable relationship. And yeah, he gets like put in this elevator, and the original idea was that he was supposed to just kind of plummet for eternity.
I love that.
Yeah, which I
And
think would have been cool.
I love the elevator. The
Yeah.
design of it's really cool.
I think so too. But ultimately he ends up in this like martial arts studio dojo or
Yeah.
something.
With
And
Invisible Freddy.
like, okay, the Invisible Freddy and the like no blood is pretty dumb. I mean, but ultimately I still like this.
It's definitely, I think, the weakest of the bunch, I'd
I
say.
mean, I would think this was a better alternative because it at least incorporates the karate part, right? Because he
Yeah.
establishes that's his thing. So
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's fine.
But yeah, so he kills him. What I do like though is actually even better is at Rick's funeral when he gets up out of the
Yes.
casket. Hey, Benny, or what does he say? Something to that
Yeah,
degree.
yeah.
And like it's almost like kind of sad and fucked
It
up when
is.
he's just like, hey, he's like, why do they all think I'm dead? It's okay. Don't worry, Alice. I'm still here for you. Like, I would never leave you. And I'm like, oh man, he's so fucking dead.
Well,
That's terrible.
you assume that Freddy is gonna pop up, or he's gonna change into Freddy or something like that, but she's just having a daydream. And it has nothing to do with Freddy, which I think is kind of fun and cool. But it is very off-putting and creepy when he pops out of that coffin all chipper.
So now let's take an inventory of our survivors. We've got Alice. We've got Dan, the pretty boy. And then we got Debbie, who makes it very clear. Remember, she's about exercise, and she didn't spend hours working out just to get killed by some demon child pervert in a fedora. And then Alice, like you said, starts repeating Sheila's catchphrase. And then Dan's just like, oh, wow. She's becoming more and more like them after each death. I'm like, thanks, Dan.
Yeah. Just
That's that.
stick to being pretty.
That was the most brain power Dan had to use that whole
Yeah,
movie.
literally.
Yeah. So, and then again, this is further demonstrated by her new nunchuck skills that
Oh
she
yeah,
inherited
very
by
fun.
Rick. Yeah.
I love this scene with the nunchucks because they do those shots of her from behind because obviously it's not the actress that's doing them, but her hair is completely different hair. It's a different color. It's a different texture. It's a slightly different length. It's a different thickness. I love it. Did we not have any wigs available for this stunt performer?
And then, like, were the moves so complicated that, like, I
You
don't
know what?
know.
Okay.
Not to talk shit on people that use nunchucks.
May I go on a short tangent about nunchucks?
Yeah, sure.
Here's the thing. I think that nunchucks are one of those things that look really fucking easy, but it's actually really hard and complex. Because even that move that she's doing, the move that they show her doing from the front, I think they taught the actress where she's just swinging it like back and forth, you know? Do you know what I'm talking about? So she's doing that herself, but those like the things where she's like passing it over the back of her arm and like catching it and twirling it, I think that takes a lot of practice and skill and discipline.
I guess you're right. And it reminds me of the like the Ninja Turtle weapon theory. Have you heard of this?
Go elaborate, please.
Okay. Well, so obviously Leonardo has the katana blades, right? Raphael is the sai. Donatello has a bow staff and Michelangelo has the nunchucks, right? And this is so dumb. I don't know who came up with this, but the idea is that each weapon is perfect for that turtle's personality because Leo, I think, has the it's I don't know. I don't forget the thing about the swords, but like because of their like lethality, he has like it's always like that moral thing he has to hold himself accountable to not
Okay,
kill
I like
people.
that. Yeah.
Raphael's the hothead, so they give him sais, which are a defense weapon. They're made to like break swords. Donatello, because he is the brainiac, they give him a fucking stick and they're like,
It's this big ass stick.
you do machines. We know how the theme song goes, but how do you do with just the most basic tool there is? Right. And
Okay.
then Michelangelo, and you mentioned the dude's the party guy. He's all over the place. He's coked the fuck out. So they give him the thing that can occupy his mind the most, which is something the most sneakily kind of complex, thing with the nunchucks. So there you go.
I dig it. I like it.
I don't know where that passed around, but I don't know. Someone shared it with me.
I love that.
So that night, Alice sneaks out of the house to meet Rick at the local diner where she works at, and Debbie is at home, getting ready to do her nightly workout routine. Remember, loves working out, hates cockroaches.
Just in case you forgot.
Yeah. So on the way to the diner, like Alice, like just this isn't a dream yet, or is it? She like gets just distracted by this movie theater and walks in and buys a ticket and concessions and sits and watches this movie when she knows Rick's waiting for her at the diner.
Wait, Rick is her dead brother.
Sorry, Dan, you know what I mean.
Dan. So, okay, this gets confusing, but what I think is happening is because Alice's dad sent her upstairs and she was like planning on sneaking out the front window, she fell asleep. Dan must have fallen asleep before he even went to meet her at the diner, which, like, guys, it's 8 o'clock. You said you were going to meet at 8 o'clock. And we're
Yeah.
falling asleep. Like, I guess they haven't been sleeping well, so that's an excuse. But I think they're both asleep. So she starts off in this movie theater nightmare sequence, but then she doesn't actually wake up when she goes to meet Dan at the diner. They're both still sleeping. So it fakes you out and makes you think that she did wake up, but she didn't wake up yet. Does that make sense?
No, but I'll roll with that.
Yeah, so I think she's sleeping up until the point where she wakes up with the one shoe and has the sneakers, or she's still sleeping at that point.
Sure.
She's asleep for a lot of this.
Yeah. So she gets a soda and a popcorn and goes and sits down. It's this like old-timey silent movie. And then it switches over to this like dilapidated, rundown version of the diner.
Which
And
is
then,
called the Crave Inn, by the way.
which is weird why they would call it Crave Inn, like INN diner, and not just call it Craven Diner, like I'm craving food, you know?
Yeah, I guess you could. Maybe was, yeah, either would have worked.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think mine would work better.
Oh, sure it would. Yeah.
Come on. The screen turns into a vacuum. So you
Yeah.
have this like slow motion, like sucking all of her popcorn and
Oh
soda
my gosh, I
away.
love the popcorn and soda like floating away.
I
So
was just
fun.
having like PTSD to like, you know, my first job at a movie theater, having to go and like clean it. And just like the people are so fucking gross and think that it's not as bad now as I remember it being. Like when I was working at a movie theater, people must have gotten a little more civilized, I suppose, in the
I
last
think
20
people
years.
pick up after themselves a lot more in the theater. I don't leave any trash.
Yeah, me neither. But at the time, like I remember just going through and it was like, you'd have to like fuck it. It's just, it would stay, it would, it's like the bottom of that Roach Motel, like fucking walking through and just the stickiness. And all you have is a little broom just to kind of pick up what's in there. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, it's so gross. But that's what I was thinking about. I was like, oh, that popcorn and soda spilling all over the floor. Oh, someone's got to pick that up. It's gonna get in the fabric of the seats. Gross. Yeah.
Who cleans those seats, or does anyone clean those seats?
Don't know. Like maybe
Because they're
w
gross.
once a year, maybe I think someone would come in and like probably just use whatever that like rug rent, you know, that like rental rug
The
cleaner you
rug
could get.
doctor.
Rug doctor. Yeah, I think you just rug doctor the shit out of those seats. I don't know.
Yeah, they look pretty nasty.
I remember when a cleaning crew, I think, was coming in and working on the theater that I worked at, and I volunteered to work the shift because they just needed someone to like open like doors and stuff. So it was an overnight shift. So I started at like 11 p.m. and went up until like 8 a.m. or whatever. And yeah, no, I just it was great. Fucking just
Just
hooked up
chill.
my Super NES because I had like the hookups to do it and played a Donkey Kong Country 3, which I know is not a regard highly regarded one of the series, but still
As
pretty
you
fun.
realize.
Yeah. So
Wait,
where
what
was
did you hook
I?
it up to? Was there a TV?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a TV inside the box office, but also like you could theoretically hook that shit up to a projector.
Oh, that's fun.
It's just a little kind of awkward. There's some back and forth running around to do, and you'd need
Yeah.
wireless controllers. So
Oh,
that's a whole,
yeah.
yeah. But it's possible. So yeah, I like this effect of her getting sucked into the screen, and then also her getting sucked into the movie, and then watching the audience from, and it's all
It's
of
all
her
her
dead
dead
friends.
friends. Yeah, and they look like shit too. Like
Yeah.
they'll have like bags under their eyes and stuff. That's really fun.
What did Kristen say? Like matching luggage?
Yeah.
I kind of like that. The bags under her eyes, like calling
Yeah.
it that. I might do that. If I see someone that also
God.
looks tired, I'll be like, ugh, matching luggage.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, what? What does that mean?
I'd be so insulted.
Yeah. You look really tired right
Yeah,
now.
you look really fucking bad.
People love being told how tired they look. Yeah. So she enters her own nightmare, I guess, and she's at the diner, and like we find out her biggest fear, because she's served by an old woman that also has the name tag Alice, insinuating that she does not want to be stuck getting old working at that diner forever.
She says that. Or
Maybe, oh,
someone
she.
says that to her, like, you don't want to be here your whole life, like waiting tables.
Right.
You know. And I did a good job on her old lady makeup.
Is that her?
Yeah, that's her.
Okay. Yeah,
They
that's
put her
pretty
in
good.
old makeup.
So Freddie, I love this. Just fucking just rolls right up to the bar. He's like,
I love
hey,
it.
what's up?
If the food, what is, if the food doesn't kill you, the service will.
Just crack some jokes. I love that. Orders a soul meatball pizza. I
Oh
love
my
this.
gosh, soul food.
I love soul food.
Ugh, and the way that the meatball like pops in his mouth is
Yeah.
so fucking gross.
It's
Ugh.
so fucking bad. But yeah, this is where I'm just like, I love this Freddy.
Oh yeah, the little faces on the pizza,
Yeah.
they're so good.
It's so fucking good. So she comes to, thankfully, or finds Dan at the diner, and they took off to go get Debbie because Freddie was like, hey,
She's still asleep. So she thinks she woke up. She is still asleep now.
right, because then they get stuck in
Yes.
that time loop.
So her and Dan are both asleep.
And Freddie made it clear, he's just like, I need you to fucking use those powers. You need to keep bringing me soul meatballs. So get to it, right? So again, she thinks she woke up, but she goes and finds Dan at the diner, and then they're like, we got to go get Debbie, she's next. And they start going through this, and
This loop.
this is when we get to Debbie's death, which I mean is the most nightmare fuel of any of them that I
Dude,
can remember. She gets it bad.
it's so mean for how little Freddy even knows Debbie.
He knows
Like,
enough.
what?
Exercise and cockroaches.
He's like, how can I make these two things work together? And he fucking figured it out, didn't he?
Oh man. Because again, all of this, oh, when she first like, oh, when she's
Oh,
pushing
when
the
he's
like
pushing
barbells
back.
down, and it like her elbows snap off,
That's
and
already
then.
bad enough. Just if her arms were just busted like that, it would already be bad enough.
But then cockroach legs poke out and shit. And she's like transforming. It's so bad.
Oh, and you see her arms like flop, like the gelatinous arm skin just flop off onto the floor. The sound that
Yeah.
it makes when it hits the floor is so perfect. It's so gross.
And just when she falls like face first, like in like the Roach Motel with the sticky ground, and she's pulling her face up, and it's like, this like obviously very Cronenberg inspired, like just her new Roach body like tearing away from her skin, and you're like, oh, just
Very, yeah, it
interspersed.
is very Cronenberg, The Fly.
Yeah, and just interspersed with this time loop, which I love,
Yeah.
of fucking Alice and Dan thinking that they're getting to Debbie, but then like they get to that house, and automatically just resets back at the diner after a few ways through. Dan's just like, I feel like we've done this before. What is going on?
Dan's like, I'm a little bit smart and a lot
So,
hot.
yeah. Well, and this is why I'm not sure when they're awake and when they're not, because then they, like, she realizes, oh, fuck, Debbie's dead. Never mind. We didn't get there in time. And drives off, finds Freddy in the middle of the road, and they crash into him. And then this is when they take Dan off to the hospital in the back of the
Oh,
ambulance.
yeah, that's interesting because then how the hell would they actually be like in this car wreck? It's like they're half asleep and half awake.
Yeah, maybe it's a mix of Alice's daydreams a little bit. I'm not sure.
I don't fucking know.
Who cares, to be
I'm okay
honest?
with it.
Yeah.
I'll allow it.
But yeah, like I said, the Debbie kill, Jesus Christ, that's just absolute,
It's
just
so brutal.
fucking nightmare fuel. Oh my
Oh,
God.
that was one of the reasons why I watched this movie so many times because I loved watching that kill. But it also was, it's like a worse fear thing, just mutating into something else like that. Ugh.
Yeah.
Disgusting.
So now it's just Alice and Dan left. Like I said, they try to run Freddy over in the road when he appears, but it just ends up just fucking totaling the car that they're driving.
Yeah, what did you think was gonna happen? He's fucking magical as fuck.
Yeah. So they must be away because ambulances arrive,
Yeah, that's
throw
yeah.
him in the back. She jumps in the back. I like how she's like, we're following my rules. You can't sedate him with anything. And to which,
She
like, the
says he's
pair.
allergic,
Yeah, the
which is
paramedic's just
smart.
like, I don't know, he's bleeding out and not doing great. Are you
It's kind of
sure?
my job.
Yeah. So they get to the hospital and then they immediately take Dan off for surgery. I'm not exactly sure like what I wasn't exactly sure what his injury was.
I think he was, well, he had a head injury, but then I
Yeah.
think he also was
Something internal, I don't
wounded
know.
in his like stomach area.
Oh, right, 'cause he starts hemorrhaging like later.
He starts hemorrhaging later, and I don't think that Freddy stabs him at any point. Freddy just like throws him around a little bit and he starts bleeding a lot. And I think that's from the accident, perhaps.
Right. So Alice knows he won't survive because they're gonna have to put him under, right? So she's like, all right, I'm gonna book it back home. I'm gonna have to fucking sort this shit out myself. And then this is when we get the transformation into Alice, the Dream Master, which this fantastic montage of her like incorporating all of her like friends like gadgets and scarves and jackets and such,
Love her new look.
getting, yeah. And she just goes, fucking A. And I,
Yeah.
even though I really
'Cause that's
still,
what Kincaid said.
yeah, right. That's, I don't buy it still from her
She's
necessarily.
not delivering it fully, but you can tell that her confidence is definitely boosted and she's way less annoying than she was at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah. So now the Dream Master, Alice, dream hops over to Dan's dream, is able to break him out of, whatever his restraints they had on him on the surgery table. And then they make their way through some Freddy Funhouse bits. This is kind of cute. I like this. Before they end up in like some like a church of some sort.
Yeah, but I liked that little like tunnel situation. That twirly
Yeah.
tunnel is cool.
They do those in haunted houses a lot.
Oh, I
And
don't like them.
it really makes you dizzy like walking
Yeah,
through.
no, I'm
Yeah.
not a fan of those.
Dan gets woken up by the surgeons because he starts bleeding out. So the surgeon, I guess, has to wake him up.
Yeah, I'm not sure why.
So he vanishes from the dream, and this is just leaving Alice alone now with Freddy. She's got her powers this time. I don't know how effective they are all the time. Because I mean, he kind of keeps coming back. Like, it doesn't matter how much karate she does, how much.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the Dream Warriors with all of their powers. It's like ultimately, like, no one can beat Freddy. You just
No.
have some convoluted, loophole that basically, if you just
Just
remember the rhyme enough.
it makes him dormant for whatever amount of time, and then he comes right back. But this extended that the fight scene between the two of them is a little bit long, like the actual fighting part of it, you know, where they're kicking and throwing punches and balancing themselves on the pews.
And she's like picked up some Japanese while she was at it, which is pretty good.
She was saying what Rick said when he was fighting, practicing and fighting Freddy too.
She also reuses that roach machine that Sheila made to like shoot like lasers at Freddy, but that doesn't really work either.
I don't even understand how that was even possible from in the first place. So definitely that can't be the thing to kill him.
I thought she was just going to turn it on, and the high pitch like would have at least just he'd be like, ah, I don't like this, like because maybe because he is like a cockroach or equivalent, especially in a sense where he can't die kind of
It feels like a
thing. I don't know,
stretch.
I guess.
I do like that hole that happens in his chest, and you see his like beating heart just kind of, you know, the little
Yeah.
silhouette of it in that opening in his chest. That's pretty fun.
Fucker keeps on coming back though. And she's running out of ideas, but don't worry. She was like, oh yeah, there's that other line in the poem about when you see the reflection in your eye, you die.
Yeah, just like
some such.
the if the evil, like evil seeing its reflection, it just freaks it out, I guess, and dot like kills him.
I guess, because she's like, oh, apparently Freddy Krueger has been avoiding mirrors this entire
This whole
time.
time. That's what I was thinking. I mean, would you want to look at yourself if you looked like him?
I guess not, but it's not even like he needs to see his reflection, like the souls that are bursting out of his chest at any given moment. Once they see that reflection too, it compels them to. Basically, I don't fucking care because this
I think he
effect
just sees
is.
his—he sees his reflection, and just it weakens him. And now all the souls that are inhabiting him can put their weird little fucking feeler arms out. This effect is wild.
Yeah, I was gonna say, who fucking cares? Because this looks so cool.
It's the coolest thing I've ever seen.
They made a 20-foot tall replica of Freddy's chest so they could have real actors bursting out of this. Of course, one woman needs just clearly topless.
I love that. It's
Who was that?
the grossest way to show boobs on screen. They were
Yeah.
like, you're gonna get boobs here, but you might not enjoy it as much as you would have in the waterbed.
Yeah, true. But yeah, this is fantastic. I love watching this. And yeah, they all.
Maybe we should add favorite practical effect ca as a category halfway through this franchise.
Maybe that would win it though for this one.
Yeah, for sure.
And then all the souls are able to burst out and they're just and on their
Thank
way floating up to
you.
heaven. Thank
Bye. I love you. We'll miss you.
Thanks, pal.
Yeah, like the little voices are so weird.
Yeah. But hey, fuck, we did it. Hey, doesn't matter. Got the job
Yep.
done. Freddy's
Job done.
dead for now, at least. Fuck, sometime later, Alice and Dan are talking about like, we're starting to get some sleep again. All right, you know, a few hours here, a few hours there.
And they're all coupley.
Yeah, I love that. Dan wants to make a wish at the fountain that they're at.
Dork.
Yeah, he is. Make a wish. What do you want? What'd you wish for? And then
That
she's like,
dick.
yeah. She's like,
Sorry.
if I told you, it would never come true. And then she sees in the reflection of this fucking fountain.
I'm sorry, your Alice voice is so dumb. Continue, please.
Thank you. She sees briefly in the reflection in the water in the fountain.
I love that shot too.
Seeing a little bit of Freddy,
Just
maybe.
a little glimmer.
Just let him know he's
So
still around.
that she knows I'm just taking a hiatus. I'll be back.
Roll credits, Natalie. It's the Dream
With that
Master.
great Sinead O'Connor song.
Love that. Yeah, the soundtrack is great
Ah, oh,
in
so
this movie.
good.
Yeah.
It's really good.
And that's it, Natalie. That's our movie.
Yeah. Kills on kills on kills.
I'm very excited to hear the taglines for this movie.
Okay. These taglines are interesting because I feel like maybe there might be one or two repeats. You'll have to let me know if any
Okay.
of these sound familiar. Are you ready for Freddy? We've heard that one before, right?
Maybe.
I think so. Greetings from hell, which also we didn't mention that postcard. That's on Alice's mirror with Freddy holding Alice.
That's pretty
And it
fun.
says greetings from hell. That shit is hilarious. How does he come up with this stuff?
He gets bored when people are
Or
awake.
awake. Yeah. Just coming up with ideas. Just when you thought it was safe to go back to bed. I like that one, okay. Terror beyond your wildest dreams.
I like that last one though, by the way, because isn't that a play on a Jaws sequel? Like just when you thought it was safe to get back in the water.
Oh, yeah.
And we get a little bit of
Yeah.
Freddy shark situation.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Okay. That's a good one. That's
Okay.
fun.
What was the last one though you said again?
Terror beyond your wildest dreams.
Okay.
It's fine.
He's a dream guy,
Pure evil never really dies.
I would have preferred Pure Evil Never Sleeps.
Ooh, yeah. I
Right?
love that.
Okay.
Okay. And the last one, the biggest nightmare of all.
Okay. No, thank you, but okay.
And that's it. So it's like five.
Right.
Easy
So
peasy. All right.
how do you round this out? What do we
Now
got next?
the fun stuff. All right. What was your favorite Freddy quote of this movie? I can share my first if you're not ready.
Yeah, share yours. We'll see if it's the same one.
Of course, mine is when Freddy has Joey in the waterbed and
Was
he says,
mine.
"How's this for a wet dream?"
Yep, that was mine.
I love it, and it's just so good.
Yeah. Then
You have a
mine
backup?
is, whoo, I don't know. I think it's probably the soul food.
Oh, the soul food's good. I
As
think
he's chomping on meatballs.
my runner up was the if the food doesn't kill you, the service will.
Yeah.
I like that too. Okay. Your favorite nightmare sequence that may or may not end in a kill. I think this one is probably like the best so far for options of nightmare sequences because there's a lot to work with.
I agree. Ooh, okay. I'm gonna kind of split the difference and say, can I just share my dream and my kill?
You'd
Okay.
like.
My favorite dream might be Joey's. My favorite kill is Debbie.
Oh, okay. They're totally unrelated. I thought they were going to be linked together, and that's why you
Totally
asked me to share
unrelated.
them together.
Because I feel like both need to be represented, but then fuck, the Sheila one's great too. I don't know. Maybe my favorite dream is no. Yeah, I like the Joey dream and I like the Debbie kill. How about you?
Okay. I also like Joey's pervy dream as
Love
my
it.
favorite, and he was my favorite nightmare sequence of the last one too. So shout out to Joey for that. I don't just love it because you get the naked woman in the waterbed. I also love it. I love that she comes out of the poster.
Yeah.
I think that's such a nice, fun touch. But also, I like the implication that Joey has these dreams, these pervy dreams, so often that he didn't even suspect that it's Freddy. Like
Oh
he's
yeah.
having these dreams on the regular. So I love the implication. for Joey just being a perv. So that's my favorite dream sequence. My favorite kill is also Debbie. It's so terrifying. The practical effects are so good. The build up to it of just working out. She hates cockroaches. Working out. She hates cockroaches. She loves to work out, but boy, does she hate those cockroaches. Like, and the context in which you even see one is that it's in her lunch. How? Why? I think the whole build to that kill is so fun. And the fact that Debbie's around for so long, but has so little to do in this movie, they just wanted to save that one for last. And I love it. So, yeah, that's my favorite one, too. And it is absolute nightmare fuel. It's so scary. When she's walking around in that hallway, just swinging around those fucking cockroach leg arm things. Oh,
You
God, that
check
was.
in, but you
Yeah,
can't
you
check
can't check
out.
out.
And he
That
just
was the thing.
crushes the box and the
And that
goo just.
goo. Oh, yeah, it's pretty good. All right. Would you like to share your boo score first? And would you like a refresher on what you gave for the other films?
I don't think I need one. I gave the first one a 5. I gave the second one like maybe like a 2 or a 2.5.
A two.
And then the third one I gave a 4.
Correct.
Okay. I struggled where I landed on this one. I love it so much. Ultimately, yeah, after watching this again, I like it better than part 3. This is Again, I mentioned it earlier in the episode. I'm just like, something about part 4s in these series, like, really just fucking nail the essence of it. Like,
Yeah.
this is when Freddy's at his best. This is when the kills are just so, I don't know, they're so dumb, but like inventive in the practical effects kind of sense. And I like this cast of characters. I like getting the kids out of that, hospital and just seeing them just at school and interact with their friends and then all their friends to fucking die. I like so like Alice is annoying, but I do appreciate Alice as a final girl. I think that it's kind of a neat gender swap because I think maybe not in horror movies, but I think often you'll see that it's this kind of meek, nerdy, not confident kid who, and then the girl is just like a pretty prize to be won, which all that's all Dan is in this movie, right?
Yeah. He's just this pretty, like, is he gonna die or not?
And it's like, and she wins by, winning him. And I don't know as if I care so much about like the Mega Man situation of like the absorbing other people's powers.
It's fine.
It's fine, but at the same time I'm just like, oh, I like that you keep a part of all your friends as you lose them. There's something maybe even kind of sweet about that. I don't know.
I think that would be really sweet if that happened in real life.
Let me ask you, Natalie, real quick, if you and I were in this situation and you died, what power do you think I would absorb from you?
From me, I thought you were going to reverse the question. Oh my gosh, I don't know. Do I have any powers?
Maybe. I don't know.
Can
What power?
you rap?
No, can you?
Yes. Yes,
I
I
mean,
can.
I hip hop to the flippity flop, every
You would
as good as the
inherit
next guy.
that power.
Your ability to rap.
That
I
would be
love that.
it.
I think I don't know what you would inherit from me,
Can I tell you what I
but
would choose, what I would like to take?
sure.
I would like to take your musical abilities. Like
Oh.
your ability to play instruments and like carry a tune. Like, yeah, that I would absolutely 100% take that in a second.
I don't think I don't think that would be helpful against Freddy.
No, but it'd be fun. And I think Freddie would have fun with the rapping too.
I think I would just get your your perpetual perviness. I think. I'd be like, I can't hand it. Why does everything turn me on?
Useless. Yeah. He's, why do I have posters of Michael B. Jordan everywhere?
Why do I want to see Robert Englund do the tongue thing? Right?
That probably is what you would inherit. Oh, man.
This movie's an absolute classic. I think it is maybe not as structurally, I don't know, well crafted and written as the first one.
Yeah.
But this one's really right up there with it.
It's
So
fun.
I'm going to give this 4.5 booze. How about you?
Oh, but, and are you going to rank it now or do you want to wait?
It would be 1, 4, 3, 2.
Okay. I agree. This movie is a really good time. Every time I watch it, I forget, like not forget, but I realize one more reason to love it more than I did the last time I watched it. And it had been a while, so this was extra exciting to watch this time. I even went back and like would rewind scenes and watch them again just to fully absorb instead of watching the movie twice. So that was kind of fun. I like the recasting of Kristen. I think it actually worked in their favor. I know they wanted Patricia Arquette back, but she was doing other things. Couldn't tell you what they were, but I like the recast. This has the highest kill count so far of the franchise, so I really enjoy that. And I think for these kills, the setup is simple, but really on the nose, and then you get a great execution and payoff, and you get
Literal
the
execution.
literal execution. And then you get these amazing, like, practical effects and set designs to go with all of it. Like, the budget for this movie versus what they did with it is insane. Like, 6.5 million, and like, it's so good. And I like that we circle back to the last movie and get three victims from the last movie because you don't really see stuff like that often. The soundtrack is really fun. The score is fun as well. You also have Nurse Freddy. I fucking love Nurse Freddy.
Love Nurse Freddy. I was thinking they, I know they make those like super hyper realistic like action figures, if it's like NECA or I forget the name of the company that makes it, but gosh, I would love like a Nurse Freddy one.
We'll have to look into that if it exists. Rehire the research team if it's in the budget. Yeah, I think that this is such a good slasher. And like you had already said, this is like peak Freddy. He is having a good time, he's getting creative. The makeup looks great. Freddie's voice sounds great. Robert Englund kills it, pun intended. And I like this group of kids. They're not annoying. They're doing exactly what they need to do for this film. So I enjoy that. Whereas the last group I didn't like so much. So I agree. I like this better than the third. I did give part three 4.5 boos. I still stand by that. This one I'm also going to give 4.5 boos, but I'm going to rank it above part three. So my ranking is going to go 1, 4, 3, 2.
So it's
Same
the
as yours.
same.
Right now we're matched.
I had a feeling this is when we would split. I really thought you would like
Really?
three better than four.
No, and funny enough, I've always liked four better than three, but this last watch, I think I liked it significantly less than four. Like this one was just more of a good time. I think I liked three more when I was a little bit younger and a little bit more pretentious and was worried about, certain things. And I also loved that Nancy was in it, but we kill Nancy and really, it. Ultimately, Nancy doesn't make that a more fun film than this one. Like, Nancy in the first film is the Nancy that I need. And in three, she's serving, like, she's playing her part, I
Yeah.
guess. Yeah. But shout out to Nancy. So that's where I landed.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Well, geez, y'all, I want to hear what your rankings are so far. What you think
Yeah.
about just part fours in general? Because I'd say between, well, I guess really my only strong examples are this
You forgot one.
Friday the 13th part four. And I'm pretty sure I have Scream 4 ranked as my second favorite, or maybe you
We both.
do.
I do. I think you do as well.
I might as well.
I'll have to go back and check on that.
So.
Which apparently is a hot take.
And I have Bride of Chucky as I think my second favorite Chucky movie. And it's the fourth one too. And they do kind of nail it in the fourth one.
I thought, yeah, you did rank that one higher than,
Two. No, it's like two Bride,
and
then
then
one, I
one,
think.
yeah, which I think is a hot take.
Yeah. It
Yeah.
just you the Tiffany element, you know?
I know, I know. She's
And John
important. She's
Ritter.
wonderful. Yes. We love John Ritter.
Oh gosh. Well, that's all I've got on Nightmare on Elm Street part four. Sleep
Same.
tight. Check your drinks, 'cause fuck moms, Jesus Christ.
She's just popping pills into everything. You better be careful.
I know. I want to see her afterwards with a fucking egg on her face, being like, all right, maybe I shouldn't have done that.
It'd be funny if they had like a little post-credit scene of her just being like, fuck.
Just cleaning up the room of all that just
Just
burnt up
like
body parts.
moving the bed out of
Yeah.
the room.
Take it, everybody. Looking forward to seeing where the series goes. I really think maybe, who knows, maybe there's still some highs. I don't know. Maybe there's some lows
Maybe there's both.
in our maybe wherever our wildest dreams will take us. I don't know. Take care, everybody. 3, 2, 1, ghost.
Thanks for listening to our episode on A Nightmare on Elm Street 4, The Dream Master. And for following along in our franchise series. If you enjoyed this episode, you could subscribe to our podcast and leave a 5-boo review on whichever platform you choose to listen. You can find us on Instagram at 321GhostPod and give us a follow. We would love to hear your favorite Freddy kills and quotes. Follow us on Letterboxd at 321GhostPod to see our boo scores on all of the movies we've covered so far. Next week, you'll have to wait till Friday. Because we're jumping back into another franchise series with Friday the 13th Part 5, A New Beginning. Thanks again for listening. And remember, real friends don't fuck their friends over by pulling them into their homicidal nightmares. 3, 2, 1, ghost.